The new Mexican president gets a nice economic inheritance.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio in for Jeremy Hobson. The party that dominated Mexican politics for much of the last century is back in power. Enrique Peña Nieto of the Institutional Revolutionary Party has taken the presidency. Successful, and his opponents and supporters like to say strikingly handsome, Peña Nieto inherits an economy that is on the upswing. There are even indications that more of those made-in-China items that Americans buy may soon say made-in-Mexico instead. Reporter Jennifer Collins is in Mexico City. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Give me a sense of what the Mexican advantage might be.
Well, first, it's proximity, of course, cheaper transportation to the U.S. because it's closer. And second, it's wages. They've actually stayed pretty low in Mexico, and they've been rising in China. So that's attracting manufacturers to Mexico. Duncan Wood is an economics professor here. He says Mexico needs to do more to compete. And he's not talking about Peña Nieto's handsome smile.
Peña Nieto is, he's not just a pretty face in an empty suit, but he's not the brains behind the organization. But he has managed to gather an incredibly impressive team around him that will say, if we want to increase levels of foreign direct investment, then we need to do these things.
So Peña Nieto is also promising cheaper energy and better ports and roads.
So cheaper energy, better infrastructure, could be expensive.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. Peña Nieto has to figure out how to pay for it while keeping costs low for investors. He's promising better tax collection, but Duncan Wood is skeptical.
If we begin to raise production costs here, that doesn't just impact upon Mexican competitiveness, it impacts upon regional competitiveness, i.e. the United States as well.
And that's because we import so many Mexican-made components of things that eventually say made in the USA.
All right. Jennifer Collins, Mexico City, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wild storms from the mid-Atlantic and southern states right across to the Midwest have left sweltering heat and massive power outages in their wake. Several million people have been without power over the weekend from Maryland and Virginia to Ohio and Illinois and beyond. And one of the casualties has been the internet. Power interruptions at big data centers operated by Amazon.com, the one in Virginia, crashed other popular websites that rent out Amazon's computers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Over the weekend, Netflix, Pinterest, and Instagram had to update their users via Twitter and Facebook about server outages caused by powerful East Coast storms that brought their sites down. These websites all contract with Amazon to provide cloud computing. It's a big and growing business for Amazon, which also uses these data centers for its own e-commerce. The site said most service was restored by midday Saturday as Amazon worked to restore both its primary power supply and backup generators at its Virginia facility. Technology analyst Rob Enderle says this is a sign of poor planning.
A lot of the newer internet companies have not been good in terms of security and redundancy, clearly forgetting a lot of lessons that have been hard learned over the last few decades. So, yeah, it's a problem.
Enderle says these companies need to do a better job of establishing multiple server farms in different parts of the country. That's to make sure natural disasters in one region don't take their services offline all over the world. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The chairman of Barclays Bank is resigning. The London-based bank said today it's launching an independent investigation into Marcus Agius's role in an interest rate manipulation case. Last week, the bank settled that case for the equivalent of $453 million. In a statement today, the chairman said, quote, last week's events, evidencing as they do unacceptable standards of behavior within the bank, have dealt a devastating blow to Barclays' reputation. Now let's do the numbers. Checking European trading right now. We'll see how we're doing with stocks generally on the upswing. In fact, the FTSE 100 index currently up about 0.6%. The CAC 40 index in Paris is up 1.2%. The DAX index in Germany is up 1%. The Shanghai Composite Index in China is up just a bit.
Get
get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Now that it's July, new regulations are in for for-profit colleges and other vocational programs. Programs that fail to comply risk getting cut off from federal financial aid. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
Starting this week, career training programs must show that former students earn enough to pay off their loans. Programs that fail 3 out of 4 years will become ineligible for federal student aid. At some for-profit colleges, 90% of revenue comes from that aid.
There was some concern that institutions were providing education for students that wasn't worth the price they were charging.
That's Kevin Kinzer. He teaches higher education policy at the State University of New York at Albany. In a recent test run, 5% of programs failed to meet the new requirements. Many were at beauty schools. Anthony Fragameni is with the American Association of Cosmetology Schools.
In a difficult economic time, unfortunately, sometimes the repayment of that student loan might slide down the priority list a little bit.
Fragameni says beauty schools have been counseling their students on the dangers of debt and working with employers to line up jobs for graduates. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, Wall Street professionals are famous for their short-term view, sometimes selling off a so-called investment a fraction of a second after buying it. So, as a former history major myself, may I offer a tip of the top hat to Michael Hartnett, Chief Global Equity Strategist at Bank of America. Hartnett's research report called The Longest Pictures takes a deep dive into, among other things, how the British bond market performed during the American Revolution. Business Insider looked at Hartnett's data and noticed a spike in British interest rates at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It makes sense when you think about it. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.